We are controlling transmission.
Divided by a thousand miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. And now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored, and we're happy to build stuff.
That's the truth.
Yes, we are. I'm like freaking excited, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Tommy's sitting over there. What's up, dude?
Not much, man. How you doing?
I'm glad to know you're back. You've been out and doing things and got, you know, you probably got all sorts of stories to tell because you've been on vacation, and every time you go on vacation, it's epic, and I'm jealous, and there's probably lots of that, so I'm excited to hear what you got going on. I've got a lot of stuff going on, most of which I can't really talk about, but I've got a ton of stuff going on, and just had just a little bit of time to play video games. And there's one other really amazing thing that I've done, but I'll get to that in a minute. What's going on with you, sir?
Not much right now. Just chilling for the first day in a long time. Am I just chilling? Like you said, we went on vacation, went up to the mountains in Colorado for not quite a week, a handful of days, and then got back. And I've just had a crazy work week this past week. I will have by the end of the week made $600 running sound this week on top of my regular gig. And so,
wow.
Yeah.
I've been
different places around Dallas. I'm finally kind of getting some connections here to do some sound gigs. And so, yeah, it's a good thing. So that I've been enjoying, but I've also been working constantly, leaving the house at 8 or 9 in the morning and getting home at 9 or so at night. And so, It's been a busy week, and so I'm happy to have a little bit of time where I'm not working. So this is great. I'm pumped to be here.
It's funny how the world works, because I can tell you a little bit about what I've been doing. I've been working like crazy as well in the sound realm. I have signed on to produce 3 audiobooks that will be distributed on Audible, which that's kind of crazy. Like, that I'll have a credit on 3 books that actual people can download on Audible. Not yet, because I'm not done, but that's what I've been doing, and you've done enough of that kind of stuff to know that I'm pretty slammed.
Right.
You know, you sit down, and you look up 6 or 8 hours later, and you're like, crap, I didn't get a lot done. So that's what I've been doing for about the last week. It has kept me crazy busy, and it has made me knock some of the rust off of my sound stuff.
Sure.
Because you know as well as anybody else, when you don't do some of that stuff for a while, you get a little lazy and you forget stuff, and you have to figure out some different things. So It's been really interesting. That's what I've been doing. But I haven't had a lot of time to do anything else. You and I have both been playing the same game. You haven't been playing a lot of games, but we've both been playing the same game. We have to say, it's awesome.
Yeah.
We've been playing the Talos Principle, which, if you haven't played that, you really should. We actually heard about the game. It's been on Steam for a while, but our boy Pavel at 11-Bit actually brought it up during our interview, and was like, hey, this is really cool. This is the kind of stuff that we like to mess with. And after I heard that, I was like, I gotta check that out. And during the E3 summer sale, our boy Cabbage picked it up for me and said, here. And so I plugged it in and started messing around with it. It's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. I a bit of background before we get into that side of things. Since last we did a show, I have a new PC, which is kind of a crazy thing. So that's awesome.
Hence the open. We like to build stuff.
Yes. Built myself a new rig, which is super cool. I'm digging it a ton. I love the new rig, and so I'm having a lot of fun with that. And we will get into more of the details about that here in a little bit, maybe. But the kind of inaugural game that I decided to play on the new rig was the Talos Principle, and so picked it up, downloaded it, and have actually finished it. Which I've only had the new rig for a couple of weeks, and so I consider that pretty good with my craziness and schedule and everything else. And it's not super short; like it's a fairly deep game, and so I don't know how many hours I'd put into it. I'm sure it tracks that.
You can look on Steam.
Yeah, that's a good call. But either way, it's the way I described it earlier before we got on the air was like philosophical Portal. It's this super first person puzzle game like Portal. It's not the same, you know, Portal game mechanic, but it's a puzzler in the same vein. And you get different objects that you have to use in different ways in the environment to open doors and collect little like Tetris pieces, essentially what they are. And then you have to use the little Tetris pieces to unlock doors to get to new places. And so that's the basic kind of just gameplay thing to it of like, what are you actually doing as you progress through this? You go through levels, you collect these pieces to open up new levels to collect more pieces and so on and so forth until you get to the end. But the thing that makes it really interesting and really cool, like that in and of itself is a fun gameplay mechanic, and just I love puzzlers, and so that's enough to keep me. But the thing that the game does is brings in this like deeply philosophical bent to the whole thing. And so not giving too much away about it, but at least setting up some of the premise for it, you figure out pretty early on in the game. First of all, there's this kind of Garden of Eden, and there's Elohim is this voice that is speaking to you, which is a name of God. And so you have, quote unquote, God speaking to you, like telling you all this stuff about, you know, this world that you're in and what you're doing and all that kind of stuff. And there's this tower that you're not allowed to go to the top of. And so it's all these kind of interesting kind of biblical things with Garden of Eden and the Tower of Babel, and it's
which, by the way, they never mentioned it in the Bible, but apparently the Garden of Eden has terminals,
right?
Was interesting.
Yeah, and so there's all these little computer terminals that you go through, and you like start figuring out some of like what's happened, kind of like why you're in this world, why it exists, and all this stuff. And this is a pretty big component of it. You're a robot, and so the whole thing kind of centers around like artificial intelligence and what makes a person. And so there's all these questions about like ethics and morality, but also about like being, and it's, you know, like what is it that classifies you as a person? Because like you playing this character are, you know, probably wanting to consider yourself like a person, a sentient being, but your character is a robot. And so it's this kind of challenge about like, is artificial intelligence potentially, can it get to a place where we would consider it being alive the same way that we consider us being, you know, sentient, alive, rational beings or whatever. And it explores a lot of really interesting questions that are going to be questions that we as a species have to deal with. Like, we're going to get to that point. Like, artificial intelligence is going to get to a point where, like, there's feeling and emotion that's at least portrayed, and then we have to start really discussing what makes that real, you know, and right, how you quantify what a person is feeling versus what a machine is feeling, and it, like, just stuff that's going to screw with your head, like this whole idea of singularity and whatever. If you're into that kind of stuff, like, this game's for you. Like, you're going to dig it.
Right.
It's really interesting. And if you're not, like, it's still fun to play through. There's some really funny kind of dialogue in it too. Nothing like Portal, with like, Portal's hilarious. This game's not that level of funny, but it's funny. It has its kind of levity to it, which is fun. But it makes you think, and it's challenging in ways. And there was a few times where I'm like, you know, talking to this AI on this screen, I'm going, holy cow, like, this is challenging, like, my worldview, you know? Like, the way that I see the world is being affected by this stupid game that I'm playing on Steam, you know? That's a cool thing. That's an awesome thing for a developer to make happen. So, again, if you just want to play it because it's a fun first-person puzzle game, it is that, and you're going to dig it. If you want to enjoy some of the other aspects of it, too, it's well thought out. It's well written. I was very impressed with the game.
I like I said, I played about 4 hours of it, and I really am enjoying it. I need to get it on a faster rig.
Right.
I think that was a good call for you to plug it into your new rig, because my Mac is not fast enough to do it well.
Yeah.
And I assume my PC, it's going to look better on my PC, but I don't know how much.
Yeah.
Because I'm going down two card levels on the PC, even though it's a full-size GTX. I'm going from a 650 in the Mac to 470 on the PC. So I don't know how much I'm going to gain by putting it on the PC. But it's not real comfortable on the Mac.
Yeah.
So
that's fair. I can see that. It flies on my rig.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, man, it's awesome. I enjoy that. This rig, obviously, it's the best rig I've ever built, because any rig you build after 5 years of building your last rig is going to be better. But this is the best rig that I've ever built in comparison to what kind of the standard is. You know, it's the most competitive gaming PC that I've ever owned. And so it can run anything that's out on the market right now. It's not as future-proof as maybe I'd like it to be, but that's because I don't want to spend tons and tons of cash on it. I did it still at a budget that I'm comfortable with.
Mine's going to be, and we're going to talk about that.
But it runs anything that's out right now perfectly. I'm not worried about it at all. And so, yeah, I dig it. It's VR ready. It's got everything we need for VR, which I'm pretty pumped about. So at some point, I've got the PC to run, you know, a Vive or an Oculus or whatever. And so, yeah, it's slick, and I'm pumped.
I'm excited because you built it and it's running, and you also...
I'll also say it's the easiest build I've ever had. I had zero issues with it. Like, every time I've built a rig, I've always had something that either wasn't plugged in all the way, or like the RAM was bad or something, you know, like there's always something I've either had to send back or go get a new one or whatever. This one, it took me, you know, an hour to put it all together or whatever. I fired it up and flawless. I was playing games within 2 hours of having the pieces sitting out on my floor, you know, like it was the easiest build, and it was great. I loved the whole
thing. All right. So two questions.
Yep.
Do you think that it was an easy build because you were dealing with your boys at Micro Center and weren't getting stuff off of Amazon? I just gave them a plug, and I didn't really mean to.
Right.
But I think
it's warranted. I don't mind. They were great. They were super helpful, and they've got good prices. So I'm very happy to have one locally.
I think that is our new favorite place to shop.
Yeah.
Based on what you've told me, it sounds like...
I had a really good experience with them. Maybe other people haven't had as great experience with Micro Center. I don't know. I haven't heard that. But here we've got one locally in Dallas, and it was great, and I will be back regularly. I was really, really impressed with them. So answering the first question, maybe a little bit. Like I said, I didn't have to take anything back or anything like that. I mean, it was nice being able to... So, like, for motherboard... Like I've said, okay, here's a processor I'm getting, here's a video card I'm getting, I want 16 gigs of RAM, you know, blah, blah, blah. Then I was like, so what do you think motherboard-wise? And it was nice to just have a guy to bounce stuff off of that was knowledgeable, the guy that knew what he was talking about. And so, you know, it's like, well, this motherboard is this and this, but it doesn't have quite the quality of components. This motherboard has better components, but it doesn't have this and this and this, you know. And it was really easy for me to figure out, okay, this is the one that checks all the boxes while still being a price that I like, while still having the comfort level that I want for, you know, component-wise and all this kind of stuff. And so I think that was part of it, just being able to have a face-to-face conversation with somebody that, you know, was like, oh, yeah, I totally get what you're saying. And to the...
That's hard to come by.
It is. And the guy that I was working with wasn't trying to upsell me. You know, I said, right. Here's my budget. He said, awesome. Well, let me show you what we've got in that. You know, it wasn't like, oh, man, you've got to spend a lot more than that to get anything good. You know, like... He was right. Totally, you know, like they have to, here's the warranty plan for this and this and this, you know, and I'd be like, nah, that's okay. And he's like, okay, you know, that's fine. I get it. You know, it was so nice to work with somebody who was not like trying to sell me stuff that I knew that I didn't need that was trying to upsell me on something that wasn't really going to do anything better for what I was doing or that kind of stuff. So that was a good experience. I do think that helped.
The thing that really upsets me about computer shops, and we have like three of them in town, and I've been to all of them. I've walked in and said, I want to do this, and most of the time the guys in the shop look at me and go, you want to do what?
Right.
and when you're trying to find somebody that's knowledgeable, that knows what they're talking about, that is really hard.
Yeah.
So the fact that you found that, I think it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Because you and I, it's hard to imagine, but we must be way, way above what most consumers that walk into these shops.
Oh, sure.
Do, because I'm serious. I walk in and they look at me like I'm stupid.
Yeah.
Like, we don't even carry that. I don't even know what that is.
Yeah.
And it would be awesome to go to a shop where the guy's like, yeah, we may not have it, but we can find it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. And the guy I worked with, you know, is a huge gamer and built his own, you know, rig, obviously. You would anticipate that. But, you know, like, was like, yeah, this is what I used, and this was what was good about it, and this wasn't, you know, and was able to give me really honest answers about stuff and that kind of thing. So that was good. I also went to Fry's I had to get a cooler.
I've never been to Fry's.
That was fine. It wasn't nearly as helpful.
Right.
And, again, it's nice that we have one locally. I like the option of having being able to shop around, you know, because they'll both price match. And so, like, I'll just figure out what the price is from the one that I don't like as much and take that price to the one I do like more and say, hey, here's what Fry's is offering because I like Micro Center better. But I've just never lived in a place that I've had that level of, you know, retail outlet for computer parts, and it's super nice. It's nice to just be able to drive down the road and do this stuff as opposed to trying to order stuff off Amazon or Newegg or something like that, which I've had good experiences with Newegg or Tiger Direct or whatever, but it's just something that's really nice about having it local, knowing too, like, if something goes wrong with it, you could just take it back. Like, I could just take anything back 5 miles from my house right now as opposed to having to send it in and deal with the post office and packaging and on and on and on. And I hate that stuff. And I've had to do that before, and it's just a pain. And yeah. And so I'm a big fan.
Let's be honest. We don't have it where I live and where you used to live. We had three shops.
And they're like little bitty shops. Like, yeah. That have, because in Memphis, it was the same way that, like, I needed a motherboard once and I went in and they had like three. They had three motherboards in the store, you know, and it's like, that's not that helpful, man. You know,
no.
Like, two of them aren't the right socket. So you've only got one motherboard that's even the right socket. And so I guess it's if I want it or not, you know, and this one had like every essentially model of motherboard. They had it from like all of the major brands. And so, you know, there was the Gigabit version of it and the Asus version of it, everything. And so, yeah, it was wonderful.
Well, I'm excited because now that you've got yours built, you, for some bizarre reason, have agreed to build mine.
For a reason that I was able to upgrade my PC if I agreed to build yours.
Well, yeah, but I kind of think, I mean,
I'll mention this really quick. So the agreement essentially got me a 1070, which is awesome and I'm pumped about. Because I found an open box 1070 at Micro Center, and it was essentially $100 cheaper than retail.
Which is insane, and, by the way.
Yeah, we opened the thing up, and, like, the box was open, But like me and the associate, you know, opened it up and went through it. We're pretty convinced that whoever bought it never actually took the card out of the packaging. Like the cellophane was still on there and taped up. All of the plugs were still plugged in. Like it looked like the guy had just opened it up and said, oh, never mind, I don't want this, you know. And I got it for $100 off because some dude opened it up and then changed his mind. And I dig that. That was awesome.
I will tell you this, okay? I already know what I want.
Right.
But you find me something like that, I'll take a $100 discount.
Right.
It's
a good thing.
That's something that you're not going to find on Amazon or Newegg or somewhere else. It's cool to go into a shop and have those abilities to look. And I'm glad that I could help you with that, have the ability to help you with that.
I'm also
really excited that you are going to be building my rig, because I didn't like the idea. I love my brother. I love all his guys, but I love the idea of you going to Micro Center and getting the parts yourself, not ordering them on Amazon, not ordering on Tiger Direct, and having to have somebody else put it together. I love that idea. So I'm excited because that takes a lot of stress off my shoulders. I love my brother. I love all the guys over there, but there's some of the guys that look at me like I'm stupid.
Right.
The last rig that I got, my brother's looking at the parts going, I don't even know where you got these.
Yeah.
Like, what this is, dude, he looked at the video card and it was massive and he was like, really? And I went, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm really excited for that reason.
Me too. I dig doing it. Like, it's like cathartic for me just to sit down and put stuff together, you know, like I watch TV and put a computer together, and that was a blast, you know, like I just had fun doing that. And so yeah, I'm excited to do it.
And you're gonna get to do some stuff on mine that you probably would never try on yours,
which is also exciting.
So I can't believe you agreed to do that. I said I wanted to do this and you're like, yeah, okay,
man. It sounds fun to me, so I'm pumped about it. It'll be fun.
I'm looking forward to having a new rig.
Yeah.
It's my, every time I boot up my PC now, I just hate it.
Like, yeah. Like, that's definitely the point I was to with mine too. Like, I didn't do anything on it except the show, which I'm still using my old PC right now to do the show. And it took me like 20 minutes to get it turned on before we did the show. I think it's like jealous, you know, like I think it's pissed at me for building this new rig. Like, oh, we're never gonna play games again. I'm like, nope, we are not, except for Peggle, because I'm playing Peggle on the old rig right now. But that's about all you get anymore, old PC. Sorry.
Well,
man,
what's crazy is that and this has been a Windows thing for a while, but you can't just boot Windows up and go. You gotta like turn it on and go get a cup of coffee,
right,
and let it get settled and all of that before you can really even do anything with it. And I'm so spoiled because of the Mac OS and the solid state drive.
Yeah.
That you know, I had to reboot before we started the show. It literally took 20 seconds. I said, I'm going to reboot. And I was back up before you even thought about calling me.
Yeah.
I'm so spoiled by that I'm not going backwards. I mean, one of the things that I'm putting in my new rig is a solid-state drive. And I'm going to spend some money on a big solid-state drive because I'm so – the boot is so much faster that I don't think I can go back.
Yeah.
Like, I may be – mistaken, and for the amount of money that it costs, you're going, I'm not doing that. But I just, that's my thing, is I'm so spoiled by my Mac right now.
Yeah.
That I just don't want to go backwards, like, ever.
Yeah, I have, for my new rig, I have a little solid state drive that I've just had.
How big was it? You didn't
125.
Okay,
gigs.
It's 120. Okay.
And so it's so all I'm doing is system stuff off of it, and then I have a terabyte hard drive in there right now that I'm running games off of and everything else. But it's that in Windows 10, and it's quick. It's every bit as fast as my Mac boot up, which is awesome. My Mac is solid state, and so yeah, I'm a big believer in that. I wasn't willing to dish out the money for like a terabyte solid state drive or anything like that, but having just a system running off of the solid state drive at this point, I'm super happy with. And once solid state drives come down price wise, I will be happy to switch it out.
Well, and I may not spend the money for a terabyte drive because I've done some looking, and I can do 500 gig solid state drives for less than the price of one terabyte drive.
Yeah,
and I'm considering doing that.
Yeah,
I don't know how much having the games on a solid state drive benefits really. I mean, once you get it booted up, once you get your PC booted up, you may not notice. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm interested about that because all I've really played is the Talos Principle, and that ran fine off the second hard drive. Yeah, I'm interested to see if that ever bogs it down.
Because I mean. That's when you go between the two drives. That's you're slowing down a lot.
Sure.
So I'm very interested in that, and I just made up. Like I said, when we started all this, I made up my mind. I'm not going back to, at least for the operating system. Yeah. I'm not going back to a regular drive.
Absolutely.
And I love being spoiled.
Yes.
I never thought that I, and you told me I would for years.
Yeah.
That once I got that Mac, that it would change everything, and it has.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I told you I was working on the first chapter of the audiobook on the PC, and I lasted about an hour, and I was like, screw this. I'm going back to the Mac.
Absolutely.
So, and I did, and that's just the way, like, the solid state makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
So,
100%.
I'm glad yours is up and running. I'm glad you're happy with it. And I'm probably, now knowing that yours runs so well, I'm probably going to steal some parts from you.
Yeah.
I may trust you on the case because I was going to get a much bigger case. But you're telling me your case is rocking, so.
Yeah, I love my case. Now, if you wanted to do dual cards or something like that, my case is probably a little small for that.
Right.
So that's a consideration. But. Yeah, I'm super happy with the rig. Happier than I thought I was going to be. I was pumped going into it, obviously. But I've always, after a PC build, you know, there's always been, because I've, again, never built a PC that was this competitive. There's always just been those things. I'm like, yeah, it's cool, but, you know, here's the things that could have been better or whatever. At this point, like, I don't have any of those for this rig. I know in a couple of years it's going to be dated a little bit quicker because it's an i5 and not an i7 processor, that kind of stuff. But I can switch that out, you know, like that's not a hard thing to change. And so I made sure I got something that is at least upgradable for a while, you know, that there's going to be some future proofing to it. It's got, a lot of expansion opportunities and that kind of stuff.
Well, and yeah. I think the expansion is the key because I've told you before that if I had, you know, even 16 gigs of RAM on my rig right now, and a faster video card, I wouldn't be upgrading.
Right.
Because it would run anything that was out there. So I think expansion is the key. Being able to pop that chip out and pop a new one in.
Yep.
It's going to be a big deal.
Yeah, me too. So happy about that for sure.
And look, just having a new PC like that just makes you feel good.
It does. It's just a nice thing, you know. Like, it's just fun, and I want to play all the games, which it's ended up with me having such a hard time to figure out what I want to play. So, I finally settled on the Talos Principle after I booted up five or six different games. Like, I was like, "Oh, I want to play this." And I was like, "Oh no, I want to play this." Oh no, and then I was finally like, "Okay, I have to choose something. What am I going to choose?" And then the Talos Principle won, and I was very happy it did. The second one is going to be Headlander. While we were firing up the show, I went and bought Headlander, which I'm super pumped about. And so I will fire that up today, and I might be finished with it by Monday. It's kind of what I'm feeling right now. I've got a lot of work I have to do just sitting in front of the computer for the next couple of days. And so there's a good chance that we'll be getting through that pretty quick.
Can we share that on Steam? Is that possible?
I think so. We should definitely try it.
We should try that.
Yeah, we should definitely try it.
That would be, I think we did that with Ori and the Blind Forest, and because I would love to see that.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
I think that's gonna be a great game, and like I said, I'm excited about a new rig. I desperately need it now. I'm looking at mine right now, going, you need to go away.
Right, man. I love you, but your time's done.
Yeah.
Yeah, go for the new sexier model.
Oh, that reminds me. When you finally got everything done, when everything was complete.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you do anything new with the monitor?
No, I'm actually using a TV for my monitor on it, a TV that I've had set up downstairs in our main room for a while that I play my PlayStation on. I'm just running it through that TV, which is, it works great. I've always struggled with the color options. It's just it's a Vizio 1080p, 20-something inch TV, you know. But it's, yeah, I'm super happy with it. It's been great so far. I had to spend some time after I first fired it up just getting the color settings where I wanted it, because this TV, for whatever reason, has just always been a struggle on the color settings. But once I got it dialed in, I really dig it. So that was another way I saved money. I didn't buy hard drives. I already had the solid state drive, and I had a big drive I could stick in it, standard hard drive, and it by a monitor. I reused as many components as I could, and so that all helped save money, which is both critical to me building it in the first place, but also allowed me to do things a little bit nicer than I would have been able to do otherwise if I would have had to buy a monitor or something like that.
Which, by the way, we have to tell people. If it's okay, can we tell people your final price? Because you told me your final price, and I nearly fell out of my chair.
Yeah, it ended up right around $800, which is phenomenal.
And that's a 1070.
That's a 1070. It's
16 gigs of RAM.
16 gigs of RAM, an i5 660K, which is the fastest i5, I think, out there. It's the reason I picked that processor is it's rated the most value for the speed, the highest speed for price, and so it's competitive with a lot of the i7s. It's not as good as kind of the upper end i7s, but those i7s get expensive really, really fast. And so, yeah, I've not a super slick motherboard. It's kind of a standard motherboard with enough expansion and USB 3.0. Those were my big things. I wanted to make sure it had plenty of USB 3.0, and it did. And then being able to
did it have more than two? Because I'm noticing they all have like two.
Yeah, it had maybe six or something like that.
Six?
Yeah, it had
a
bunch. Which is super nice. And so I've already taken advantage of that with USB 3.0 drives. I have a USB 3.0 thumbstick now. That's awesome. And so, and I have USB 3.0 on my Mac. And so that helps a ton just transferring stuff and everything else. But yeah, a case, again, like I said, I spent about $40 on the case. I got the 1070 open box. Micro Center had an awesome like package discount if you bought a motherboard, a processor, and RAM. And so 16 gigs of RAM was $40, which was awesome.
Wow.
Because it was like $30 off because I bought a processor and a motherboard. The motherboard was $30 off. Just, you know, all these little things.
Yeah, you're going to have to do some shopping for me because ever since I've known you, you've had a nose for deals,
right?
And I don't know how you do that. Because
I'm super cheap, and I refuse to actually pay what anything actually costs.
This time with this rig, I'm gonna send you out and say go to work, because I'm gonna spend more money. But if I can save a little money, I'd be all right with
that too. Yeah. So I have a VR-ready rig that was $800.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, you can definitely do it for less than $1,000. You have to be creative, but you can do it for less than $1,000. And so, yeah, I'm super proud of that.
Oh, the other thing I was going to ask, did you get Windows 10 downloaded before the 29th deadline?
Yes.
Okay, because I did not.
Yep.
And now I'm wondering what they do with that.
I'm not sure. But I did make sure I did that.
I can get a copy because I have a brother that's what he does.
Sure.
But that's what I have not understood about Windows 10. They made this huge deal about how it was free and everybody needed to get it. And then I started seeing this countdown clock. And it has been so annoying on my old PC because I'm like, I am not upgrading this machine to Windows 10. Just not. So now, as far as Windows 10, there's no telling what I'm gonna have to, how I'm gonna have to get that. But luckily, I have a little brother that happens to have a Microsoft developer agreement, so I don't think it'll be that bad.
That is handy. But I've been really impressed with it so far. I've had no issues with Windows 10.
Yeah. He loves it.
Like, I never had Windows 8 on any rig personally. I helped people that had Windows 8 because, like, you know, when we go somewhere for family events or whatever, everybody like
you're
brings
the
their
tech
laptop,
guy, yeah.
Right, and say, hey, Tommy, fix this, you know. And so I've dealt with Windows 8 because of that, but I've never personally had it. Windows 10, I mean, it's, you know, like, there's weird things about it because it's obviously built for both desktop and mobile, and so there's some very mobile things that you're like,
yeah,
why is this way? But once you get past those, it's slick. It's worked out for me so far, so I've been happy. So.
Well, I'm going to tell you something that's going to blow your mind. My little brother, which I cannot, it seems like blasphemy to me, but he brought in, and I may have talked about this on a previous show, he brought in a 13-inch Dell laptop. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing with that? You have a Mac. What's wrong with you? And he's like, for what I do, it just works out more. He's like, I don't use my Mac for a lot because all my work stuff is on PC, like
sure.
I'm dealing with servers and all of that stuff. When he said that, I just wanted to go get some garlic or a cross or something. Because that's one thing that he said was he brought in that laptop that also doubles as a tablet.
Uh-huh.
And he said, man, I love Windows 10. And for him to say that, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine somebody going from OS 10 to Windows 10
anything.
And being happy with it.
Yeah.
Like you, I can hear your voice. You're like, ew, I wouldn't do that. But
yeah, I've been really impressed.
And he was happy with it.
I will still not work on a PC. Like, my job and everything lives on in the Mac universe for sure, but my gaming is all PC. Like, I'll do next to no gaming on my Mac for a while other than just being able to have it not at home. You know, like, I'll download a couple of things on my Mac just to have on the go. But I had been gaming quite a bit on my Mac just because it was downstairs and it was running better than my PC was and everything else. And, yeah, no more.
Yeah.
So, all that being said, we should probably talk about news and stuff. But before we do that, I am pretty sure we forgot to do this on the last show, and I feel like such a horrible person for it, so we'll make sure we do it on this show. And that is to mention our Patreon supporters, because we need to do that, because, A, our Patreon supporters are awesome, and we love
you
guys.
Some of them are paying for it!
Right, and B, like we told you we were going to, so yeah, we're up to 7 Patreon supporters now, and those are Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, and our boy Spiderwise, who just jumped on board so he can participate in the roundtable, which will be coming up probably next week. And so all of the Patreon people that are going to be involved roundtable-wise, you'll be seeing information soon about that. But thank you guys so much. Obviously, we appreciate you a ton. The Patreon's already been a much bigger success than I think probably either one of us thought it was going to be, especially this quickly. And so thanks again for that. And if you haven't contributed on Patreon, first of all, don't ever expect you to. You don't have to. We're never going to make this a thing that you have to pay for the show. But if you want to support what we're doing, help us get more fun gear and stuff to play with and talk about with you guys, we would love that. You can do that by going over to gamingcensored.com and clicking on the Patreon link there.
I love the fact that we suck Spider in.
I do too. I'm so pumped to have him as part of Roundtable because he's another one of those guys that's just been around forever at this point and has been such a contributor to the show. Has been in segments and has been around and emails us regularly and everything else, and just a good dude. And so, yeah, pumped to have Spider part of it.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun next week. Last time we did it was a lot of fun. This was going to be a blast. We have to come up with a roundtable subject.
Yes, we do need a topic. So yes. Roundtable people, if you have a topic you want to talk about, let us know, because we have not decided on a topic yet.
I'm excited. That may be the roundtable, may be the thing in Gaming Uncensored that I enjoy doing the most outside of this show.
Yeah. It's a blast, and it's fun for us because we get to talk to you guys, and we like talking to each other. We're friends, we hang out, we play games together and all that kind of stuff when we get the chance, but we could do that without being on the air. It's fun for us to get a chance to talk to you guys, and the only way we have this connection with you guys is through this show, and so yeah, we dig that a ton, and so yeah, we're excited about it. If you want to participate, or if you just want to get early access to content, or just support us because you like us and don't want anything in return, we'll take that too. GamingUncensored.com and then the Patreon link right there at the top.
Which, by the way, we also had to mention that we are the flagship gaming podcast of FanboyNation.com. We are 30 minutes in, hadn't said that, right. But we are. And I think we're going to have a special guest on this next roundtable.
Yes.
Because I have to mention this on the show just to give him crap. But Chad, our guy over at Fanboy Nation, got in my box. He sent me a text on my phone because he had my number, and he says, "You got to get me in on one of those roundtables." And I said, I wanted to say to him, dude, you know, there's people involved here. You know, there's people paying for this. But his website is lucky enough to support us.
Right.
So we're,
I like how you said that. They're lucky enough to support us.
I'm going to make an executive decision and say that Chad is invited to the next roundtable. He needs to be paying like everybody knows, right. but because he is the man.
He's a good guy, and he's done a ton of stuff for us.
Yes.
I guess.
I think I can sort of allow that.
Right.
So that's next week, Chad. I will be sending you a text to let you know about times and stuff.
Since you're not on the Patreon, I won't get that message.
Yes. You really should be on the freaking Patreon. That's all I'm saying. But, you know
what? No, seriously, they've done so much for us.
Yes, they have.
That's the least we could do in response. And so, yeah, it'll be cool to have Chad involved. Chad's a good guy, has lots of opinions, so that'll be fun.
So what? That we're gonna have four guys
Plus us two. So yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be busy. So think of a topic. Send us thoughts on a topic if you have any thoughts. If not, we'll come up with something. But it'll be fun.
Yeah, I like I said, I so love. It's a lot of fun. But we have lots of news, lots of stuff going on. Probably not a lot.
But yeah, not a ton, but more than usual just because it's been a little bit longer since we did a show. And so there's been some stuff that's happened. It's mostly rumor and speculation stuff, but that's fun. And so we'll talk about
rumor and speculation. We're good at that.
Yeah, we're great at that. So yeah, should we get started on that?
Absolutely.
So we're going to start with Nintendo, we're going to start with Nintendo and not start with Pokemon. We're going to talk about Pokemon here in just a second because that's still a big deal. But start with Nintendo and not Pokemon. Specifically, the Nintendo NX. And lots of rumors, and let's make this very, very clear, that these are not substantiated at this point, but are well-sourced, well-researched. And so it seems at least plausible that this could be either what we're looking at or a pretty good taste of what we're looking at with the NX. And it's not far off of what we've been speculating for a long time the NX will probably be. And so the latest rumors about the NX are that it is a primarily portable handheld console that will be able to plug into your TV. And so the idea is, like the Wii U controller, right, the tablet kind of thing,
right,
But all the guts are actually built into the controller, not into a standalone console. And so when you want to go somewhere else, you just pick up the tablet type thing, whatever, and you go. It also will include, according to these rumors, again, rumors, but according to these rumors, it'll have controllers that, from the little mock-up that's part of this Eurogamer story, look kind of like Wii controllers or something like that, that are detachable from the kind of tablet portion of it, so that if you dock the tablet to connect it to your TV or whatever, you can have the controllers or whatever. So, or you may even be able to detach the controllers with it in the kind of portable mode and set the screen down on a surface like a desk or something like that and play it with these detachable controllers or whatever else. Really quick, I'll go through what else we think we know about it, and then we'll have some discussion. Looks like it's going to be cartridge-based, which we talked about before, which makes a ton of sense because solid-state data is way both faster and easier.
We just spent 20 minutes talking about that. So.
Like 5 years ago, the idea that there would be a cartridge-based console seemed so stupid. But now discs are way slow. Note that every game you buy has to install all the stuff onto your local hard drive so it can
go faster. And let's be clear that we did not have solid state hard drive five years ago, and we were stupid.
Right. Solid state systems were just way more expensive at that point. They've come down in price a lot. So
I don't think I was ever aware. Like, I never really understood, especially when the PlayStation came out, why Nintendo wanted to continue with the cartridge. Now I get it,
yeah,
because I've used it
right. And
understand.
Yeah, it seems like a no-brainer. They'll also have options for downloadable games, and they'll probably be a good chunk of it at this point. I'm going primarily to downloadable games, except for Gamefly. Everything else I get is downloadable, PS4, PC, whatever it is. And it's going to have an NVIDIA Tegra. I don't know exactly what the pronunciation of that is, Tegra, Tegra mobile processor. That's going to be kind of the brain of the system. And so it looks like it's going to be a very powerful portable console that's going to also double as a not as powerful home console, which is it makes kind of sense. So all that being said, the question is this something that's appealing, something that makes sense? Is this another brilliant Nintendo Wii, or is it another Wii U kind of thing?
Well, look, here's the thing. I'm done trashing Nintendo.
That's
because,
fair.
Because they seem to be on the right track with what they're doing. Okay? Like, it seems to be, and I'm sure it'll come up later in the show, It seems to be that they're onto something with this mobile gaming thing.
Yes.
I hate the idea that the system runs off of an NVIDIA, mobile GPU. That's ridiculous. But that's what they had to do to make it work.
Right. It's a mobile device, and so it is what it is kind of thing.
And so I get it, but it drives me crazy because in my laptop, that's, I've been drooling over my Mac for the last half hour, but my one knock about my Mac is that's a mobile GPU in there. Like, if I could change one thing, it would be to make that a full-size GPU. So that's my only gripe. Hearing about this, I like everything else except that mobile GPU.
Right.
I knowing how much you game on your phone and all the different stuff that you could do, I think this is really smart if people are willing to understand that it is a mobile gaming device more than it is a home console.
Right. And this is maybe the tricky thing for me with it, maybe for Nintendo, I mean, not for me, but for Nintendo, how do you convince people like me who play a lot on my phone or tablet or whatever that this is something else I need? The answer for me is Zelda and done.
Yes.
If you tell me I can have Breath of the Wild and I can take it on a plane, you got me. Like, I'm done, But I think, like we've talked about so many times, both we're getting older. And so at this point, we are not, you know, the necessarily the mobile gamer, what has been kind of prototypically. Sorry, I had that sneeze building for a while. I thought I'd be able to get through it, and I did not. but we're not the typical mobile gamers. When I think of mobile gamers, I usually think of kids because, right, like a DS is so handy to put in a kid's hand while you're sitting at, like, the doctor's office or something like that, you know, and they can be entertained when otherwise they would just be sitting there. And that's a great use for a mobile device, and I've always felt like there's so many more kids that play mobile devices than probably play consoles. But now it's so many more kids play on their phones and play consoles or whatever it is, you know. And so I don't know if they will have that audience on the mobile side that they've always had in the past. And I don't know that they'll have a lot of us either. Maybe. I just don't know for sure at this point if there's, you know, you and I are going to get into Zelda and Mario and everything else. But there's a lot of, like, the 20-year-olds now, I don't think have that same nostalgia for Mario and Zelda and those Nintendo franchises, because they grew up with PlayStation. We grew up with Nintendo. Or they grew up with Xbox, and we grew up with Nintendo. You know, like, Nintendo has a special place in my heart and your heart, because that was the console when we were kids. When we were 6 years old, it was a Nintendo. You didn't have another option. When my college students were 6 years old, it was a PlayStation or an Xbox, you know? And so...
Which, holy cow.
Right? Just, like, ridiculous.
It's just like, we can talk about getting older in lots of different ways. You and I have both had a rough couple of years. Because
as soon as you hit 30, man, it gets rough.
And I told you. Did I not tell you? That's exactly what I told you.
Yeah, man, you feel old once you get to 30. You just start falling apart.
And imagine being me. Yeah, pushing 40. That much older.
you just got a couple of years left, man. You're going to be ancient.
It is rough. You know, the last couple of months, I haven't really talked about it, but the last couple of months have been physically rough for me. It really is hard to get older, but aside from all the physical stuff, your mindset changes in what you're willing to do and what you think's important.
Sure.
And the thing with this is, and I hate to say this, but it was the case with the Wii U, and it's the same way with the NX. Sadly, as much as we love Nintendo, and as much as I would like to say that I'll go out and get one on day one, they're going to have to sell me on it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to have to see it. You're going to have to show me what kind of software that you've got, what it'll do, all that stuff. You got to sell me on it. And I hate that I have to say that, but I really feel like that's a product of getting older.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a component to that. I'm just wanting to be smarter with how I spend money, and I don't have as much time as I used to, and all those things that are annoying with getting older, for sure. I definitely think there's a part of it. Again, if you give me Zelda, it's going to be hard for me to say no. That's the one thing that Nintendo has, is that Zelda game looked phenomenal. And
can you imagine, if Zelda looks like that, can you imagine what Mario's going to look like?
I saw another rumor, it's not in the show notes, but I saw something that said that within the first 6 months of the NX, we'll have Breath of the Wild and a new Mario game. And that's like, that's what you need to do, Nintendo. Like, that's where you screwed up with the Wii U and not having that, you know, not having that offering of games. If you do that now, I think it's going to serve you really well, and you'll have me, you know, like, I'm on board with that. That sounds awesome. So if they can do that and make at least somewhat compelling console, which I think they might be on the verge of doing, I think they'll probably get me.
I think they will too. But again, you got to show me, like, I got to see it.
Yeah. Like, that's absolutely fair. Remember, I'm not just going to take your word for it.
Remember the way, and we've talked about it a ton, but remember us going to that GameStop and picking
Xbox
up the controller for the Xbox. It was an
Xbox 360.
Was it? I couldn't remember. It was 360. But we picked it up. We had to see it.
Yeah, because we didn't believe before that. We were the biggest skeptics about the Xbox 360 of it doesn't look that much better than what a PlayStation 2 looks like or an Xbox looks like and all this stuff. And we went to a GameStop and fired the thing up and went, ooh, that is really pretty. You know, and that was playing King Kong of all things, which was an awful game on the Xbox 360, but was really pretty as a launch title. And yeah, got us. We were bought in at that point. Yeah, I agree. They need to do something like that. If I could walk into Best Buy or GameStop or whatever and pick one up and go, oh, yeah, if you can show me Breath of the Wild looking like we saw it look at E3 that I can carry around with me, you got me. But I got to see it. But if you can deliver on that, you got me.
Yeah, and my other thing is, like, I can carry it around, but can I do it for more than an hour?
Sure.
You know, that's the thing.
There's a lot of little technical things with it, too, that matter.
I mean, and it will matter. It's going to make a big difference. I mean, if you have a 3DS, right?
Right.
And when you went to Shiny, you bought an extra battery pack, you did all that crap.
Yep.
Because you were trying to extend it.
Yep.
So,
the 3DS lifespan or battery life is pretty terrible. The original. They're better now, but I got one when they came out. And so, yeah, it was pretty awful.
Right. And if this has that same problem, it's going to be a real issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
agreed. Hopefully it won't. But that's totally fair.
It's all that stuff. Again, you got to show us.
Yeah. But then if I could just sit it down when I get home and it plugs into my TV and then I can just pick up where I left off, that's really appealing to me. Even more than cloud saving or whatever, that it's all the exact same console. So it's literally just putting it down and picking it up and I get to play the game either at home or on the go. I kind of dig that, you know, like that's fun. I can get behind that really easy. And so I think there's some good things for it. The controller's a big question. So the little mock-up that they have here, which I'm sure is not remotely accurate, you know, shows two little, like, what the Wii U controller looks like now with kind of two thumbsticks and then a D-pad and four face buttons. I'm sure some shoulder buttons, all that kind of stuff, what we're used to with a controller. Don't have any clue if that's also some sort of motion control with that, if it's, you know, potentially like the Wii and that it will have those same kind of motion control mechanics or will be compatible with Wii controllers if it has a built-on camera, which you would imagine is hard to, especially with the success of Pokemon Go right now. This is absolutely going to have augmented reality. I would put lots of money on that because if nothing else, they want to keep Pokemon Go going on this new thing. And so you would imagine it has cameras. And so do those cameras work as sensors for motion control stuff? Is it going to have a 3D component? Is it going to be also a successor to the 3DS where as a mobile unit, it can have a 3D thing? Is it eventually going to have a headset it can slide into and be Nintendo's VR solution as well?
That would be huge.
That's a total possibility. That, like, Google is, you know, Google has the Google Cardboard out there, which is a kind of very primitive VR thing, and then also now has what do they call it, Dream, I think, or something, that there's more intense Google platform for VR stuff, but it's all built off of a generic headset that you just put your phone into, and it works with, you know, Android or iOS devices, that kind of stuff. And the Gear VR is a very similar thing with Samsung. So why not Nintendo do a similar thing where they put out a headset that has, you know, built-in components to it, not just a box like the cardboard thing is, but has some built-in active components to it, but can transform this thing into a VR system. Yeah, like if you can, like, basically do all of those like current gaming things on this one rig, like I think you might be onto something. Now, what seems unlikely to me at this point is that it's going to be a system that gets Call of Duty ported to it or Madden or that kind of stuff, which, to be fair, Nintendo hasn't been for a couple of generations now. It doesn't look like this is going to change that.
And they tried to do that with the Wii U, and it didn't really work out.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So
I don't want to hear about all the third-party support from Nintendo. I mean, I want them to have third-party support. Don't hear me wrong. I don't want it to just be a proprietary Nintendo software console. But I want to hear about what Nintendo's bringing, because that's why I buy a Nintendo console. If I want to play Madden, or if I want to play Call of Duty or whatever other plethora of games, Fallout, whatever, I've got a PlayStation 4, or I've got a PC, I'll go buy an Xbox One for Halo or whatever. You know, like, I want Nintendo to give me Nintendo experiences on their console.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
I think it could be really cool. I saw this, and first of all, it's not like huge new news or anything, because this is kind of what we've been anticipating with the thing the whole time. But I think it could be really cool. Like, the more I think about what they could do with it, the different kind of options that they have with the thing. Yeah, I think Nintendo could come out with something that's gonna be Wii-ish, in that it like upsets the gaming community in a whole new way, and Microsoft and Nintendo are scrambling to try to make their consoles suddenly portable, and you know, like, whatever it is. Or it could just be a massive flop, and it could be like, why do we need this? We have phones, you know, and iPads, and so forget you, Nintendo. It could go either way. It will be very much talked about, if nothing else, whenever it finally gets announced and eventually comes out.
I have to get your 2 cents on the phones.
Yeah.
Because you do a lot of gaming on your phone.
Yes.
But somebody, a friend of mine, posted on Facebook, and I've been hearing rumors of this as well, that the new iPhone 7s will not have a headphone jack.
Right.
Which does not make sense to me.
Like, sure.
Why would you? Like, I understand they want to use Bluetooth, and that's always been Apple's thing. Hey, buy our Bluetooth stuff. It's cool. It's wireless. It works. I get that. But to me, like, that's a little thing, but it's a big little thing.
Yeah, I hate it. I absolutely hate it. That being said, I use a Bluetooth speaker almost all the time with my phone at this point. A Bluetooth headset. I have Bluetooth earbuds that I use with my phone that I got for when I was traveling, just because it was easier. And I love them, and so I use them all the time. They're just super convenient. And so as much as I say, oh, man, that's super stupid, which I do think it is, like, I still get why they're going that way, and they're gonna theoretically have an adapter for it so that you can plug in a regular set of earbuds or headphones or whatever, but you're gonna have to buy an adapter. It's gonna take up, you know, the lightning plug or whatever. I don't know exactly what they're doing with it. I don't love it. I'm with you on that. I think it's a dumb idea.
That's what they're doing. You've seen my Mac. You know how many adapters I've got, right? To make my Mac,
which is super obnoxious.
Yeah, I hate it, but that's the way that Apple's going, and it drives me crazy. So I wasn't shocked to see this on the phone, but some of these phone makers, and I'm throwing Samsung in there as well, have to be careful with what they're doing, because they have to realize, and I'm sure they do, based on the sales, there's a ton of people doing a lot of stuff on these phones. The last two trips that I've taken, I have not taken a laptop, I have not taken a tablet, I've taken my phone. That's it.
Yeah.
And when you realize that there's people who have everything on their phones. They don't need a laptop. They don't need a tablet. They don't need any of that to jack with it and be taking out a headphone jack or some other major deal.
Yeah.
It just seems
you're starting
ridiculous.
To mess with stuff that you shouldn't be messing with.
Right.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I'm totally with you. I hate the idea of it. But Apple also is a company that's been rewarded for doing stupid stuff, you know? Like, they do stuff that I think makes no sense, and then people still buy Apple products and love Apple products, myself included. Like, I own an Apple phone, I own an iPad, I own a MacBook. Like, I love Apple products, and so I'm not changing, and other people probably aren't changing either, you know? Like, it's just where we're at, and they could do something that I think is ridiculous and be successful with it, because they've proven to do that over and over.
Right, absolutely.
So anyway, yeah, we'll see what happens with Nintendo. It'll be fun. If nothing else, it'll be super interesting to see how all this works out. And of course, we'll be talking about it a ton. So, That being said, let's talk about Pokemon for a little bit, because Pokemon is still a thing. And so, first of all, just really quick. Sorry, I knocked my microphone out of my face. Really quick update on the numbers for Pokemon Go. Currently, over 100 million installs, which is crazy, and still going. Like, it's not slowing down anytime soon, I would hazard a guess. And so, but this is where it gets a little fun. We talked about on the last show, which was right after Pokemon Go came out, how much of a boost Nintendo's stock got from Pokemon Go. And right. Should have in a lot of ways, but probably got more credit than it deserved because Pokemon Go is not actually developed by Nintendo. And that is an important differentiation. It is a Nintendo product and it is put out by Nintendo. But the company that develops it is a company called Niantic or something like that. Niantic.
Actually, I think isn't it Dynantic?
It's an N.
Oh.
So it could be a weird N, but it's an N. If it's Niantic, it might be Niantic again. It's one of those words. I hear words, I don't remember how you say them, so I mispronounce words all the time. So either Niantic or Niantic, whatever it is, it's the actual developer of the game. And Nintendo, I guess, to their credit, kind of made a point to say, hey, we didn't develop this. They took a big stock hit because of that. And so if you were smart and bought Nintendo stock right before Pokemon came out and then sold it right after the big boost on it before they announced that, hey, we actually didn't develop this, guys, and it went back down, you made a lot of money and you were pretty savvy about that. But again, I think it reflects well on Nintendo that they at least made that point to come out and say, hey, guys, just to make sure you know, we're not actually the developers of this massive thing. And I hope, I don't know if Niantic is a publicly traded company or whatever else.
It is not, because I've looked.
Yeah.
My brother and I have both looked.
Fair enough. At least they're getting some attention through this, if not making tons of money off of lots of stocks or shares.
Well, okay,
or whatever.
Here's my thing. And I knew this was going to come up during the show today. Because this was what I was going to do for bonus content for the month of August. I have a different take on this. You're right. It's very genuine of Nintendo to say to stockholders, hey guys, we didn't make this, but from a business perspective, that was stupid. That was dumb. And there's no way around that. And I, as a person that believes in Nintendo and would be willing to invest in Nintendo, I'm very grateful that they are open enough to say, hey, we didn't make this, but what my bonus content for August was going to be before we got to here was from a business perspective. A, they didn't have to do that, and B, it's another one of those moves where, from a business perspective, you're looking at it going, Nintendo, why did you say that? You didn't have to do, it's another in the list of, wait, that doesn't make sense.
Sure.
Like the lack of online stuff and on and on and on that Nintendo has done throughout the years that you just look at and you shake your head. When I heard that, my immediate thought from a business perspective, which is different from being a consumer, was, why would you do that?
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I question how much, like, Nintendo actually coming out and saying this matters if ultimately somebody else would have came out and said it. I'm curious of if Niantic, whatever again, was like, hey guys, we want some of that money or we want some of that recognition or something, because, you know, we actually did develop this thing.
Right.
I wonder if there was any pressure there, you know, if Nintendo had done this, if they would have come out and said something, you know, like, there's a bunch of questions that are kind of behind that. Would there have been a different outcome if Nintendo hadn't have said this and somebody else did? It probably still would have ended up similar, you know, except Nintendo would have taken a PR hit maybe or whatever. You know, there's all kinds of questions. But you do raise an interesting point of the kind of morality difference between, like, consumer and business models. You know, like, it's a weird thing. And if you've got money in Nintendo stock, like...
Which a lot of people do at this
absolutely,
point.
Absolutely. That's probably not something you're thrilled to hear. And so it's a weird area, and I don't have a good answer for what you do in a situation like that, where if you're Nintendo and you go, hey, we just got a bunch of credit for something that we don't deserve as much credit for. I think Nintendo deserves tons of credit for Pokemon Go.
Because it's their product.
Their product. It's not like they're doing nothing with this thing. It's their name's on it, you know? Like, it's still Nintendo. But they didn't do all of the work. And so it's this weird kind of like, okay, then how do you divvy up how much, of the glory goes to who and all that kind of stuff? If you're an investor, I don't know. I understand what you're saying. Like, if you have money tied up in Nintendo and all of a sudden their stock goes down 18 percentage points because they made clear that they didn't develop a product that they were getting a lot of credit for developing, I could see why you'd be pissed, but I also could see why it's dumb for you to be pissed, you know?
Right. look, the only reason I'm thinking this way is because my brother and I are both playing in the stock market. This is something that I never thought that he and I would use as a bonding experience. But I love my brother. I always have. We get along really, really well. But he brought this up for me and started having me look at these different things. And now we're constantly texting each other back and forth. Hey, have you seen this? You know, how much of this do you have? Did you sell today? What are you looking at? It's been different for us. And when you're actually in it, it changes your perspective on a lot of stuff.
Sure.
And so that's why I bring that up. Like I said, it's just a different perspective.
Yeah.
If I have, for example, he has several stocks, and I can't think of any of them off the top of my head that he's got, but he will routinely text me and say, hey, I put $1,000 into this or $3,000 into that or whatever. And if it goes up $3, you've just made a lot of money. If it goes down $3, you're losing your butt.
Right.
You know? And so it does. It makes a huge difference on your perspective.
Yeah. No, that's very, very true. A couple more quick things about Pokemon Go that all of a sudden, like, Pokemon Go is super real-world adult stuff, so talk about how it affects the stock market. But also this, and this is weird and unfortunate that we have to talk about, but we do because it's a thing. So two stories that are very closely related, both in New York. First of all, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo bans sex offenders from playing Pokemon Go. Which you can understand why, because
yeah,
it's this kind
absolutely.
Of community game that a lot of kids are playing, and you just kind of run into people, and there's a social aspect to it and everything else. And so, yeah, that's all of a sudden terrifying, right? Like, I hadn't thought about that, but if you're a pedophile, you probably saw Pokemon Go and went, okay, this is something that I can work with. And that's awful, right?
Yeah, that's not
terrifying
good.
that exists in our world, but it does, and it's a real thing. So, first of all, I'll mention these two things and we'll discuss. So first of all, the governor forbidding registered sex offenders from downloading and playing Pokemon Go. And then there's a bill that's working through New York that would require developers such as maybe Niantic, whatever, to know or track where sex offenders live. Of course, there's a sex offenders registry. If you're on the sex offenders registry, you can't be within however far of a school. I'm sure it's different every state or whatever, or a park or whatever it is, you know, kind of high risk places where there's going to be children and that kind of stuff. And so this bill would put the onus on game developers, how I understand it, to make sure that they're not potentially taking children within certain, you know, like 100 feet of a sex offender's residence or something like that. And those are two very different things, because one puts the responsibility on the offender, the sex offender in this case. The other one puts the responsibility of that on the game developer. And while I get what they're trying to do, and obviously I think I can speak for both of us when we say, yes, of course, please protect children any way you can from sex offenders. It also seems very difficult for a game developer to actually be able to regulate their game to make sure it doesn't take kids within so far of a sex offender, that kind of stuff.
And not appropriate.
Right.
It's not their job.
Right.
Like, the idea that, that's a bill that's even going through New York is ridiculous.
Yeah. I don't know where it stands right now. I'll see if I can get any more information on it. This was just from a couple of days ago. Yeah, I'm with you. I hope it's not something that passes. Again, what you're trying to do, I appreciate. But the way that you're going about it, I don't think makes sense for both the economy and also just for kind of the freedoms that these corporations should have. It's a tricky thing. It's a tough issue. Like, that's a really, again, Pokemon Go is this fun little game about, you know, going and catching these little creatures around your neighborhood or whatever. And, like, that should be such a, like, oh, yeah, cool, whatever thing. But there's real life issues that come into it. And that sucks that we have to have that conversation, because it sucks that people are pedophiles. You know, like, it sucks that people are that twisted and screwed up and would do something as horrific as that. But they do, and that exists, and we have to be smart about stuff like that too. It's just it's a weird component to this whole Pokemon Go thing that I never considered until I saw the story and went, oh yeah, oh, that makes a lot of sense, and that's terrible.
And we have to be smart about it because it's so big. My family spent 4 days in Oklahoma City last weekend in Bricktown. I don't know if you've ever been to Bricktown.
Sure, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
You know what the
right down there by
there.
The arena and spaghetti warehouse and all kinds of good stuff, yeah.
I had not been down there, but we stayed in a hotel that was right on the canal. And you could literally walk down the canal into the heart of Bricktown and there's all these shops and bars and places to eat, and it was really cool. Me and my brother were walking down, and he was like, you know what? I really wish Amarillo had a place like this. Like, if our downtown was set up like this, I think it would be huge if this was available where we live. But we took one of these water taxi tours down the canal. And, you know, if you've ever sat through a touristy deal like that.
Sure.
You know, the guy driving the boat's got a lot of interesting facts. And he said, Bricktown has been very successful. But he said, our traffic has doubled or tripled. I can't remember exactly what the numbers that he used, but he did say that the traffic has gone up significantly since Pokemon Go started, which for them, that's a big deal. And so it's affecting everything. And that's why we have to talk about stories like this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy, but it's necessary. So
yeah,
it is what it is. And I mean, honestly, the biggest thing I could say is if you are listening to the show and playing Pokemon Go, you're either an adult who plays Pokemon Go, which is still a lot more, I would guess, than children who are playing Pokemon Go, as many children as there are playing it. There's still a lot of adults that are playing it. Or you're a child that's listening because you're dad likes this show, which I know we've got some of those kids out there listening to, our boy Ty, who we heard from last week. And so either way, like, be smart about things. If you're a parent, you know, make sure you know where your kids are going when they're playing stuff and you know, have good conversations with them about what's okay and not okay and not okay and all that kind of stuff. Like, obviously, that's where all this starts. And then I think as a society, we have a responsibility to do as much as we can within reason to make sure that we don't put children in harm's way. There's some things that are ridiculous. Obviously, I think the saying that it's illegal for a sex offender to play Pokemon Go is probably a good idea. And again, it puts the responsibility on the offender. How you actually enforce that's a little bit trickier, I think.
That's what I was about to say. Like, right. It's a good thing to say, but really?
I don't know. If you're a sex offender, I don't know how much, like, obviously there's all kinds of regulations about where you can live and that kind of stuff. I don't know how much tracking there is involved with that, if they have to have, like, a GPS-enabled phone at all times so people can keep up with where they are or something like that. And if that's the case, if it wouldn't be a stretch to say that they also have phones or whatever that can be monitored, that you can see what apps somebody downloads or is using or something like that. And in that case, not that hard to monitor, you know, not that hard to enforce. If that's not the case, yeah, I don't know.
Well, you and I both know that is the case, and that's doable.
I know it's doable.
It's scary definitely for know the that. Rest of us.
Right. Because I think there's a pretty good chance that the NSA knows everything I do on my phone. And so,
yeah.
Which, I don't do anything on my phone that I don't necessarily want them to know, but it still weirds me out. Like, I'm not doing anything that's terrible. But, like, it's still weird to think about, like, the invasions of privacy. Like, not even just, like, things like the NSA, but corporations and, you know, like, everything that Google knows about me just freaks me out how easily Google has access to stuff about me. I'm like, if I was a bad person, I'd be screwed because, like, they would all know that I was a terrible person, you know? Like, thank goodness I'm a decent person that's not trying to hide anything because I don't know if that's possible anymore with just how much information there is out there, so... Yeah, all that being said, start thinking about Big Brother for a while, freak you out. Yeah, there's a balance there, and I don't know exactly what the right answers to that are all the time. So
I don't know either, but I know that it's I know it's something that we can't figure out. I mean, we've talked about the whole Google thing and why I'm willing to have Google have my information, all that. But you're right, it is kind of scary.
It is. And I
was just talking about how much I use my phone now, and I'm like, I just wonder, is somebody at the NSA reading all of my texts? You know?
Yeah.
Like, is that actually happening?
Yeah.
Are they listening to this show?
Right.
Like, I don't know.
What's up, guys? Hacking into our Skype call right now. Yeah. That's weird. It's a weird thought. Have you watched the show Mr. Robot at all, or heard of the show Mr. Robot?
I've heard of it and I've seen the preview
about where I am on it. I want to watch it, but at the same time, everybody who I've heard that has watched it is like, I'm destroying my phone now and going totally off the grid because it's super creepy how much people know about us.
I will tell you this. I saw a preview on a movie that I got from Netflix. I immediately went to Netflix and added the disc to my queue because I want to watch it, but it's like, ooh,
right.
You know.
Like, get out of my life.
What sort of got me thinking about it was based on the preview, I thought it kind of looked like Watch Dogs.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, it does have that kind of vibe. Might be kind of cool, but yeah.
It's supposed to be really, really good. And also terrifying, in that. So, that being said, we're not going to do a full segment today. We still have the Best of Cabbage, which we're going to play at some point, I promise, Cabbage. But we are going to take a little break.
He's going to yell at us next week.
I know. He has his chance on the roundtable to get on to us about that, which will be fun. But we do need segments because that's the only segment we have right now, and we're just saving it for a good time. And we've already gone longer talk about stuff, and we have a lot of news left. But we are going to take a break real quick because we have other production that we need to play at this point because we've got all this fun Fanboy Nation production now, and so we still need a break, if nothing else, just to make sure we get that stuff in here. And so we're going to do that really quick. Before that, segments, we need them. 509-GAME-210 is the voicemail line. Literally just dial it on your phone and talk to us. It's as easy as that, and we'll play it on the show, and we'll talk back to you. And so do that, or you can record a segment using Audacity, which is free, or GarageBand if you have a Mac, which is free, or if you have other software, by all means, or just record it as a voice memo on your phone and then email that to us. That's perfectly fine. It doesn't matter. We just want to hear from you. So,
which By the way, I give all of you guys that are using that free software major props because I have no idea how you use it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you get spoiled.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have the good stuff, and there's still times I'm like, wow, how are these guys doing what they're doing? Yeah, for sure. So anyway, quick break. We're going to come back. We'll talk about some VR stuff, of course, because there's always VR stuff, some game announcements, some other stuff. So we'll be right back.
Didn't I tell you to keep watch at the gate?
Yeah, about that.
Oh, don't tell me.
Yeah, the Yeti got loose again.
How could you guys let this happen again? What is this, the third time this week?
I know, I'm sorry. It sure likes chasing after those flying modem imps. You know, the kind with a beard and a vibrant Ethernet port.
Are we even talking about the same thing anymore?
I don't know. I don't know about anything.
These conversations usually end in existential crisis for both of us, so let's just stop right there.
Right. Seeing as we're both mythical creatures talking to each other about a caged Yeti who chases after anthropomorphic flying modems, does anything in our reality make sense?
No, it doesn't. But do you know what does make perfect sense?
What's that, boss?
FanboyNation.com.
Ah, yes.
Mm-hmm. If you need anything from film news and reviews, TV, gaming, manga, anime, anything a nerdy young boy or girl could need.
I myself have spent a sad amount of time browsing their manga section.
You would, little Johnny. You would.
Wait, when did we establish that my name is Johnny?
When did we rightfully establish anything here, Susan?
Wait, what? Why am I now Susan? Can't I at least be a guy?
That high-pitched voice of yours doesn't sound too much like a guy to me.
Yeah, and you sound more like a grandma smokes six packs a day.
Who said that I wasn't?
Touché, my friend. Touché.
I ain't your friend, Aldrich. Now get back to work.
Aldrich? Make up your mind, you old senile hag.
If you've got something to say, send us an email. It's gaminguncensored@gmail.com.
I'm going to say the Talos Principle.
It's a good guess. It's not. It's a good guess. I'm going to let it go for just a little bit longer because it gets more fun.
Dude, that's cool.
It is cool. And it's a game that's coming out this week. It is much anticipated.
Wow, what's coming out this week?
No Man's Sky.
Wow. That's why Japan didn't release date.
That's
right.
I would have known if not for the next news story that's going to talk about that a little bit, but... The soundtrack for it's super cool, and so the soundtrack you can find at the show notes via YouTube. It's on YouTube, but you can find it, I guess, via the show notes. So, yeah. By the way, Cavage, the Fanboy Nation production is just amazing. I love that so much, and I could see maybe it being a little bit like inspired by the Talos Principle now, knowing that Cavage apparently likes the Talos Principle. If he gave you a copy of it. I could see it possibly, I don't know if it was, it may have been before he played that, they made that, but I could see that for sure. Somewhere between Portal and the Talos Principle, and it's amazing. So thank you for that, Cabbie.
We say it's amazing, and here's why. During that entire break, we didn't take the headsets off, and we giggled all the way through.
The whole time. Anthropomorphic flying modem is just the best. Oh, I love it. So, yeah, Cabbage still gets his love even if we didn't play a segment today.
We'll get to it.
We will.
Eventually.
Oh, it'll get played. I promise. It'll get played. It's been sitting here for months at this point, just waiting. So we'll definitely get there. So, but again, thank you, Cabbage. We'll talk to you hopefully next week on the roundtable and everything else. So, all that said, No Man's Sky, there's some news to talk about with it, and that's that apparently the street date got broken, which isn't a huge surprise on most games at this point, but one that's as highly anticipated and as highly controversial is not the right word, but unknown maybe. A lot of people think it's going to be revolutionary. A lot of people think it's super overhyped. I don't know where I am in that yet, but I'm super interested in it. Apparently, a couple of companies, including Kotaku, got copies of it and then started streaming gameplay from it on like Facebook or other streaming services. Which, by the way, that's another thing in technology that's everywhere now, right? Is like the Facebook Live stuff and Periscope and whatever.
You know what? Let me tell you something about Facebook. Book Live, okay? I've done a lot of stuff. I've done a lot of YouTube. We've done a lot of live stuff. For the life of me, I give Zuckerberg credit for everything that he does. But, dude, can you make that less obscure? Like, I'm trying to figure out how to... It took me 20 minutes to figure out that you had to have a phone to make it work.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Like, apparently you do. Apparently you have to have a mobile device with the app, because I was going to do something live from my little space here on my PC and didn't have the option. So, like, I don't know if you got to download an app on the PC. I don't know if it's mobile phones only. I don't know how it works. But, dude, could you be a little clearer about that? That's my only gripe about that. That's the only thing that I've used in the last 6 months that I'm like, nah, I don't really understand.
Yeah.
But back to your original point.
Yeah. So it was good. That's valuable stuff. Stuff that I don't understand technology wise. But the story here. So apparently, people from Kotaku and also Polygon, so two well known gaming outlets, love them or hate them, still well known. Both of those, I feel like, tend to be pretty polarizing. People love or hate right. Kotaku. People love or hate Polygon. But either way, staffers from both of those outlets got retail copies of No Man's Sky, allegedly, from a retailer who sold it to them before they're actually supposed to go on sale. And the reason that this seems to be a big deal is that apparently the developers for No Man's Sky, what is the name of that company? Oh my goodness, I can't believe that's...
I can't think of it.
Yeah, whatever. I'll find it here in a second. That's blowing my mind. Hello Games, right? That's them. I don't know. Whatever, whoever they are. Those
that
people.
Doesn't seem right.
Fair enough. That... They had a pretty strict embargo on the game for, like, review copies or whatever. And so Kotaku and Polygon apparently said, screw you guys. We're going to go find it somewhere and just start streaming it so that people can see it. And so they did, and they streamed it. And, like, what are you going to do at this point if somebody sold it to them? It's really the retailer's fault for breaking the embargo and not their fault. Necessarily, I don't know. It's just a weird thing around a weird game that has weird expectations, and just the whole thing is a little bizarre. It is Hello Games, by the way. I'm so happy about that.
All right, good.
Yay, remembering something. I don't know. We're gonna know a ton about this game by the time we do another show, because it's gonna be out and we can actually talk about it. I'm really interested to see. So it comes out on the PlayStation 4 on Tuesday, I believe, and then PC a couple of days later. I'm really interested to see what people think about it. The kind of feedback that it seems so far is kind of mixed. I saw another person that, I think it was on Reddit, said that they got a copy of it and like beat it in 30 hours or something
what?
Like that. Right. And that's the first thing is I was like, beat it. I thought it was a game that wasn't like beatable. Like I thought it was like this perpetual thing. And so I still don't remotely understand this thing. I have no clue what this thing is. I know it's pretty. I know the soundtrack sounds really cool. And I know I like the tech of it, you know? I don't know if it's going to be any fun. And that's pretty important for a game. It's the most bizarre thing. It's just the weirdest thing. It's got this, like cult following at this point. It's Spore in a lot of ways. And so I worry that it's going to have this kind of Spore payoff. But it's also not Spore in that... Spore was backed by this massive name and this massive company and everything else. And this is Sean and Hello Games and like these no-name peoples who suddenly become like video game celebrities without really having any kind of resume out there, you know? And
right.
It's just this crazy thing. And so, I don't know. It's fascinating to me. I don't know if you feel like it's fascinating. I'm hooked on it.
I don't know if fascinating is the word. It scares me.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, I know that you're really interested in it, and I'm really interested too, but I'm not going to pay full price for it because I have no idea what it is. I mean, there's people who have copies of it that are streaming it, and I still don't know what it is.
It's still like nebulous and whatever. Yeah.
Until you just said that, I didn't know that it was beatable, like you
right.
said.
I still don't know if that's true. Like, it's that weird of a thing. Like, there's just so much information about there that you just have no clue of whether or not this is a real thing. And so, yeah, it's highly bizarre. I will say this. I think that if it gets really good reviews, I may pick it up pretty quick on PC because I think it's a game that would, at least if nothing else, be a good stress test on my new system. Because
yeah.
I really don't have anything at this point that is, and I don't have anything that I really want to buy to check it. Like, Fallout 4 would have been a great option, but I've already played Fallout 4. Or The Witcher 3. I've already played Witcher.
Well,
let me say this really quick that I'm super pumped about. I downloaded and installed The Witcher 2 on my new rig, and it runs flawlessly.
Really?
Yeah. So I can actually play The Witcher 2 at some point if I want to now, after playing The Witcher 3, which I don't know if I'm going to get back to it if I ever get a lull, which seems unlikely in the video game world. If I ever get a law, I may go back and play Witcher 2 now that I have a PC that it actually runs on. But
well,
yeah.
I'll tell you this. I will be interested because I have both those games. And when I get the new rig, I'm not doing it on this rig because I'm not even, after everything that you told me, I'm not even going to try. But when I get the new rig, those two games will be on my list.
Yeah, they should be.
Because that series I've always been interested in.
Yeah, and Witcher 3 is just phenomenal.
But let me just bring this up. I don't know that Fallout 4 would push a rig. I'd be interested.
Fallout 4
to
is the one game that I've looked at that the only thing I don't meet the recommended requirements on is the processor. It actually wants a slightly faster processor, and I was surprised by that. But I think it will work. I could run it no problem. But that being said, like I said, I already played it, so I really don't care.
Wait, hold up. It wants a faster processor with you being overclocked, even?
Yeah, well, with the overclocked, it should be fine. It wants a faster processor than the stock speed of the 660A.
Right.
So, yeah, I can overclock it to where it'd be fine. But I don't need to. I already played the game, you know, so. Anyway,
I am going to play Fallout 4 on the PC.
Absolutely.
Like that's when right now the only reason I have to have you build the PC next week is Fallout 4.
Right.
And there's a couple other ones in there, but Fallout 4 is the major one. And so yeah, I will be playing it on the PC and That may be the only game out there besides The Witcher 3 that would push it. I can't think of anything else that really would.
Right.
I mean, if you have a copy of Max Payne 3, it might.
Maybe. I looked at Doom. I need to download. That demo is not out there anymore for Doom, I'm sure. But that would be a good one to download and test it on. That would be a fairly system intensive game.
Did you ever get that from GameFly or?
No,
or
I haven't.
Because I'm really interested in that still.
Yeah, that's fair. But no, I still have Uncharted 4 that I haven't touched in like a month now.
Dude, so. We gotta play Uncharted. I miss Uncharted.
So many games. All
dude,
the games.
Dude, seriously? You know, we talked about you coming down here, you know, for like 3-4 days, whatever. If you do, the only thing we're going to play is Uncharted.
That's the truth.
Because I've gone for like a month with no Uncharted, and it's killing me!
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, totally, completely, 100% fair. So, anyway,
yeah.
Really quick, a few VR things to chat about. First of all, this is kind of cool. The headline for this story is Valve is opening up its Vive VR trackers to custom hardware. Parse that out. Essentially, it looks like that developers can, even kind of like maybe homebrew people or whatever, like just enthusiasts, can use like the Vive, what do they call them? Here it says base station, but the little, the tracking room scale stuff to create your own peripherals. And so, like, if you wanted to create new controllers or add, like, the motion tracking to different kinds of objects or whatever, that may be a possibility. And so we may see, like, third-party Vive controllers or, like, new, like, a gun or something like that that's compatible with the Valve tracking system, hardware, software-wise, all that kind of stuff, which is just one of those things that I go, good move, Valve. That's awesome. Good for you.
Yeah, I mean, we actually got this in my email because we're on their mailing list, and I saw that, and I went, whoa, yeah. That's a big deal.
Yeah, it's awesome. Good for yeah. them. Good guy, Valve. Always liked Valve. So, also, Razer, we've talked about the Razer headset, the OSVR, and not a lot. It's one of many headsets that are in development, and so there's a bunch of them. We know Oculus, we know Vive, we know PlayStation VR, and then there's a bunch of others that are kind of in the works that we know less about. And this is one of those. And I hadn't really thought much of it until now, because we have a price point for this thing. And so it's still in the development stage, and so there's a new dev kit out for it. And so if you remember with Oculus, there were all the dev kits that came out before we actually got to the point of having a consumer model of it. Well, that's where Razer is right now with this thing. But Razer's price point is $400,
wow.
which is a lot better than $600, $700, $800 that you're talking about with Oculus or the Vive or something like that. I don't know if that's going to stay true through the consumer launch of this thing, but I think I think that's part of what they're trying to do is make a cheaper headset that's PC, you know, based. It's got similar specs. Again, it's probably not going to be the quality of what the Vive or Oculus is, but there's still maybe if it can work with the Vive's room scale stuff or whatever, you know, like that may be a way, again, for somebody to get into VR that's not willing to pay the premium price tag that's on there right now. Of course, $400 is still a lot of money. It's the same, essentially the same price point we're talking about with PlayStation VR. Still a lot of money, still not cheap, but definitely more palatable than the other options, especially on the PC right now.
Here's my thing with the Razer. They do what they do primarily is keyboard and mice. And the reason I know that is because I've been looking. I have the Logitech backlit G15 keyboard that has the LED and all of that stuff.
Right.
And I like it, but the only thing about it, because it has the LED, I can't really like give it a bath. Like I can't really like put like alcohol on it or any of that. And this thing is nasty. Like I know I need a new keyboard because you know stuff just gets grimy after you use it for several years. And so I know I need to do something new, and I've been looking at the Razers, but I just don't have the guts because I've never used one. I don't know anybody that's used one.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know anything about them, and that's my issue with this. Like, I don't know anybody that has ever used any Razer technology. So I don't know that I really trust it.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same way, and I don't know why. I have this kind of negative connotation about the brand, but I've never used anything. But like you said, I also don't know anybody who has used their stuff or have ever heard anybody go, oh, yeah, it's really good gear. Just always kind of, maybe it's just their marketing or something that it didn't work for me, but I've always just had this negative connotation brand-wise for them.
You and I both know that Logitech gear isn't great.
Right.
And it's
but you know what you're getting with Logitech.
Right.
Like, I have expectations for Logitech that Logitech almost always meets exactly what I expect it to be, which is mid-range, kind of okay stuff.
Yeah. And that's the reason, the main reason I love this keyboard is because it's backlit. And believe it or not, I do use the LED for a clock when I'm playing games or whatever. It's cool to look at that and go, hey, I have 20 minutes and I had to be somewhere. I've gotten used to that, and I know what I'm getting, and I'm having a hard time justifying jumping off into something else.
Yeah.
That's totally fair. I'm glad to know that you feel the same way, because I don't get it.
Yeah, and like I said, I can't explain it. I don't know why I feel that way, but I do feel that way. And so every time I've seen something about the Razer VR headset, I'm always like, eh, but it's Razer. And I'm like, why do I hate Razer? I don't get it, but I do.
Right.
For whatever reason that's kind of embedded in my head, it's embedded in my head. So there you go.
Absolutely.
A little bit of news on PlayStation VR. There's some details out about what it's calling the cinematic mode, which will be the, you know, not immersive VR mode, but the mode that you can watch movies in or play games in. And so one of the things that's talked about in this story, if you want more information, go by GamingUncensored.com and click on the show notes, is talking about using the cinematic mode on PlayStation VR to play Uncharted. Which sounds cool. Like, even if you're not playing it in VR, like, it still could be cool playing it in the kind of cinematic mode. Or
see,
whatever.
That would be good for me on SharePlay to kick it into cinematic mode and just watch.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? That would be awesome. That sounds really fun. They're saying that the equivalent screen size, which this is always an interesting kind of thing to try to figure out with these, with the kind of non-VR application of these VR headsets, is, hey, what does it feel like? The equivalent screen size here is 226 inches, making it in line with like movie theater size screens. And so at one point they talk about there's like different settings. You can have a large screen size or a medium screen size or whatever. It compares the large screen size to sitting in the front row at a theater, which I think is the worst place to sit at a theater, by the way.
So that's awful.
It's not
awful.
Necessarily the best way to sell it, in my opinion. But the idea being that you can have this very immersive kind of massive view, field of view that you're working with. And so instead of playing it on a, you know, 26-inch TV, you're playing it on a 226-inch TV virtually. And that's kind of cool. And, like, I could get behind that and see.
I'd watch a lot of movies that way, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's what I'm really curious about. One of the things that they talk about is that the experience with all of the VR out there right now for movie watching may not be quite as enjoyable because of the screen door effect that we've heard a lot about with VR, that where you can see the pixels, essentially, that it kind of makes it look like a little grid. I have not noticed that, maybe a little bit with PlayStation VR. I didn't even remember that with PlayStation VR. I definitely didn't get that with my little bit of experience with Oculus. But to be fair, everything that I did on both of those were games that were designed for that VR thing. I wasn't just watching video on them. And so it may be a different thing when you're watching a 2D video in that environment, that it may look a little more that way. Either way, I'm really interested to try it. Like, I would like to see what it's like just to play a standard game with it, like, that you can move your head around and kind of, you know, still have that little bit of freedom, you know, but it's still immersive and you know, dark room, big theater, like a virtual home theater kind of thing. Could be really cool. You know, like, I could dig that. I could play non-VR games with a VR headset if it's fun like that. So we'll see.
I see myself losing a lot of hours to a headset that way.
That's my thing, and I've talked about this before. The one huge issue that I'm going to have with VR, I already know, is that I multitask so much, and VR takes my ability to multitask away. You know, like, if I'm watching a movie on VR, like, I can't do anything else, you know? Like, you can't see anything else if you're completely immersed in that world, and so obviously, when I go to like a movie theater or whatever, I'm watching the movie and not doing much else.
Which, by the way, on a complete random aside, I apologize. While I was in Oklahoma City on the canal, I went to the Harkins movie theater. Have you ever seen a movie theater with a curved screen?
No.
I went to their movie theater. And their big selling point, apparently, is the curved screen.
It's like a curved TV, but
big? Yeah.
Interesting.
Except in a movie theater, and it was really interesting.
Huh. Yeah, I have not done that.
Like, I got in there, and I'm like, ooh, this is weird. And I saw the new Jason Bourne.
Oh, yeah?
And by the end of it, I was like, hey, that's kind of cool.
Huh.
But it is that their screen was curved, which I thought was cool.
Well, you could do that virtually and have that experience there.
Yeah.
That's really bizarre. Interesting. Yep. Not heard of that.
You should look it up. It's really cool.
I'm sure there's one in Dallas because there's everything here. So it's nuts. So anyway, a few last things before we finish up. Apparently, this is great news. The Telltale Batman game, pretty good. So I believe the first episode is out as a 5-episode thing because that's what Telltale does with everything. So the first episode's out. In the way, there's a whole review from Engadget you can go by, show notes and read if you want to read that, or a billion other reviews out there at this point, I'm sure, that have different perspectives as well. But this one, what I liked about it is it talked about the fact that it feels like playing the comic, which is already positive, which is kind of, you know, also what we talked about with the Walking Dead game, that the Walking Dead game felt like the comic way more than it felt like the TV show. And that's right. A huge bonus for the Walking Dead Telltale game, which I love the TV show, but it captured the kind of what the comic does that the TV show can't.
It's got the grinniness that the comic's got that the TV doesn't have.
You just can't get there on TV. And so this apparently is similar in that vein. And also, it seems like you play a lot of the game as Bruce Wayne, and that a lot of your decisions you play as Bruce affect what happens when you're playing as Batman, you know, and that there's this cool, like, connection between those kind of two worlds, those two sides of Batman, and so you're
that's
both
that's something
dealing
that
with
you don't see a lot, so
right.
I like that.
I do, too. Like, you don't get that experience in, like, any of the Arkham games, really, or anything like that, and so, yeah, it's of course, it's Telltale, and so it's going to be a lot more narrative-driven than it's going to be action-driven, and I think Batman's really ripe for that. I think Batman's a great of any of our comic book kind of potential heroes, you know, to have a video game like this about. I think Batman's the best in a lot of ways because, like, I feel like Batman's so much more troubled than a lot of the characters, especially, you know, like you think of the Avengers or something like that. None of those characters have, like, the kind of depth, I don't think, of the Batman storyline.
No.
You know, even if the Batman storyline's super cheesy with this super rich dude making gadgets and all that kind of stuff. Like, the dark side of Batman's way more interesting to me, and that's something that's always been, especially in the comic books, a bigger struggle. And so, yeah, I dig it, and I'm now fairly excited to play this game. Probably will wait till it goes on sale, on a Steam sale, but yeah, going to pick it up. Also, I hate the episodic stuff of not having all the episodes at once.
Right.
And so I'm probably not going to play it until all the episodes are out because I just want to be able to play through the whole thing and not have to wait between each release.
Well, we got two because I need to play that and I need to play the Michonne title.
I do too. I haven't played through the Michonne one yet. I have it sitting waiting to go. I just need to do it. And we've got season 3 of The Walking Dead coming. Telltale.
What's the date on that?
I don't know. I think it's next year. Let me look really quick and see if they have a date on it at all yet. But yeah, the Telltale's got all kinds of stuff working at this point.
And think about this. Their only major flop in the last 5 years has been Game of Thrones. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
Jurassic
Park.
They did the Jurassic Park game too. That was pretty terrible, apparently. I haven't played either of them. I didn't play Jurassic Park, which is too bad because I love Jurassic Park. I didn't play Game of Thrones one, but yeah, both of those got pretty miserable reviews, and they haven't done any more with it. So, yeah, trying to find a release date. Who knows? I don't think there's a published release date for it yet. Too bad.
Well, that tells me I've got plenty of time, which
right.
makes me happy.
Yeah, that's
so.
It says the first installment will be released sometime in 2016. So we don't have a ton of 2016 left.
No.
But no. I'm a little skeptical of that. We'll see if that happens. But we will definitely be playing that. By the way, Clementine growing up and what a fantastic franchise. I kind of want to go back and play season 1 of that again. So good.
Well, here's my thing. That's one thing that when we get the new rig built for me, we're going to be doing a lot of transferring because
right.
I'm going to want to use my save files from season 2.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, it's funny to me that I'm more excited about two Telltale games than I am about major titles out there. Like,
that's totally fair.
Still, the only game I really, really, really want to play on my new rig is Fallout.
Yeah.
You know, I want to play The Witcher 3 also, but you want to know what 90% of the reasoning for that is? So that I can
play Gwent.
So I can get into Gwent and understand what you've been raving about.
So by the time the standalone title comes out, you'll be ready to go.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I want to play some Gwent.
And we'll be like, can you just imagine us, both of us sitting in our houses staring at a screen playing Gwent together for like hours?
Oh,
like,
it'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I love Gwent. Oh, it's so good.
So yeah, that's it's crazy to me that I'm more excited about those two Telltale titles than I am about major game releases out there.
Yeah, me too. They do really, really good stuff. I haven't finished The Wolf Among Us. I need to go back and finish
that. Oh, you got to, that's awesome. You got to do that.
I think I'm on a season or episode 3 or 4 of that. I played quite a bit of it, but I didn't finish it. And that's on my new rig, and so I need to go.
Dude, you got that's awesome. You got to do that. Yeah. Like
speaking
today.
Of stuff that they do really well, that one was phenomenal.
Because I did that, and that was cool.
Yeah, they do great stuff. So I'm pumped about Batman, and as soon as they put it on sale, I'll be playing Batman for sure.
Absolutely.
A couple of classic games coming to PlayStation 4. Indigo Prophecy, which just keeps popping up over and over again. It's the PlayStation 2 version of Indigo Prophecy / Fahrenheit, whatever you want to call it, is coming to the PlayStation 4 like tomorrow or something. Tuesday, maybe. Monday or Tuesday. Tuesday.
Okay, so I have a request.
Yeah.
I never finished that game.
Really?
Was never able to finish that game.
Yeah.
So can we share play that?
That's a good possibility. I love that title. It's not terribly long.
If that becomes available, can we share play that? Because I was never able to get through it.
That would be a really good one for a PlayStation Plus title. Not yes. at first, but in the next, you know, 3 or 4 months.
Which, by the way,
it is a mature title, and I think that might keep it from being. I don't know if they've released very many mature titles on PlayStation Plus. They did do Saints Row recently, so I guess so. Yeah, no, they should. If they release Saints Row on it, they could release this on it for sure. So hopefully they do that. If not, we can pick it up for $20 or whatever. It's a phenomenal game. We've talked about how we're fanboys of Quantic Dream for a while, and yeah, it was the first game that got us to be fanboys of Quantic Dream.
Speaking of PlayStation Plus, what's available this month?
I looked at one point. Let me pull it up really quick. It was games that I didn't know. So I haven't downloaded them yet, but I need to download them. I'm trying to type without looking at my keyboard, and I'm doing a really crappy job of it, so I'm going slow. the one, what was it? Here we go. I got it coming. PlayStation Plus free games for Tricky Towers and Rebel Galaxy are the two.
Yeah, I don't care.
I don't know either one of those. Tricky Towers, yeah. I do remember looking at that. It's kind of Tetris-y, but it's like Tetris-shaped pieces that you build like these big towers, and they like topple like Tetris Peach Jenga or something. I don't know. But it kind of looked cool in that. You might hear sound here in just a second because I clicked on a link that I'm afraid is going to make noise. Nope, it didn't. It didn't give me anything useful. This Rebel Galaxy looks like space, like weirdly kind of trying to be Mass Effect thing, but not really. I have no clue what they are. So, yeah, this may be a low month for PlayStation Plus. Which
what was last month? I don't think I looked last month.
Last month was... What was last month? That's a good question. It's too late now, so it doesn't matter. I don't know. I got them, whatever they are. What was it? It's the Saints Row was one of them. What was the other one? I don't remember what the other one was. I didn't play either one of them for very long, so whatever they were. But the Saints Row, like some expansion add-on kind of thing. You're playing in hell. That's what I remember from the Saints Row one.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. But hell is like weirdly populated by people as well as demons, and there's road systems, and who knows? I didn't get it. I've never been much into the Saints Row thing, and so it wasn't really my taste. But I did fire it up and try it. Just if it's free, I'm going to fire it up and try it at least.
Absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
Why not? So, yeah. Anyway. Another one that's coming to the PlayStation 4 is the remake of System Shock, which is pretty awesome.
Ooh, the original?
Yeah, the remake that they're doing that's supposed to come to PC is going to come to
PlayStation 4. Dude, that's another share play. Gotta do that.
That's not coming until early 2018, which is rough. That seems like forever away. I think it's coming out on PC before then.
You know what? I played probably 2 or 3 hours of System Shock and never really got that far into it. I think we would both love it.
I do too. Yeah, it's one after, you know, obviously playing BioShock and knowing that that's the kind of spiritual predecessor to BioShock in that world. Yeah, I would definitely like to go back and try it. I don't know that I've ever put any time into it. If so, it was very little.
Yeah, same way with me. I put very, very little into it, but I think it would definitely be worth our time to try.
Yeah, yeah, I completely agree on that. There's also a game coming that's called Empires Apart that is RTS inspired by Empire Earth and Age of Empires, which were two of my favorite college games that we like ran cables out the dorm room windows to do LAN parties with and that kind of stuff. So I'm also really interested about that. I think that was like a Kickstarter or something similar game. But yeah, awesome. Games coming. Always like good games coming. And then last thing I'll mention here, news-wise, there's a Division movie coming. So the Division, which has been, I think, mixed reviews at best, but still an interesting concept of a game and everything else, is going to be made into a movie, which it may honestly work better as a movie. And it's going to star Jake Gyllenhaal and Jessica Chastain. That's pretty solid.
Like, yeah.
Those are big name actors that do like this kind of like, both of which who've been in like big military type movies. So Jessica Chastain, I think, really came onto the scene in Zero Dark Thirty, and then, of course, was in Interstellar. And then Jake Gyllenhaal was in, what's the name of that? Army movie, military movie that Jake Gyllenhaal did. Ah.
The Sniper?
No. It was earlier than that. We actually watched it in my film class while we were in college. Oh, what was it called? I don't know. It's going to drive me crazy now. It's been a while. Jarhead? Is that it? Jarhead? Was that
Jake
Gyllenhaal?
Yeah, maybe Jarhead. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Way back in the day. But anyway, both like legit actors that have good credentials in this kind of stuff. I think it could be an awesome movie. Like, maybe the game kind of sucks, but I think the movie could be really, really cool. Usually it's the other way around when I look at a potential video game movie. I go, oh man, really? You're making a movie of that? This I could see being super cool. I'm really interested in this movie.
Okay, so what's the over-under that Aisha Tyler does a cameo?
Oh, I could only hope. Oh, man, please Aisha Tyler be in that movie. That'd
that
be
would
phenomenal.
Make me smile!
He's so good. Please Aisha Tyler be in that movie.
I gotta ask you, how did we get from really not liking her to absolutely loving her?
I don't know.
Because I do, I love her!
I do, too. Like, the first couple of times she did the UB press conference, like, we both were like, Aisha Tyler. And now, like, she still has jokes that are not my taste, and I go, oh, really, you made that joke? But she's gotten really funny. I don't know. I like her. And
really good. Like, she's somebody that you would want to sit down and play games with.
Yes.
And that I never thought we'd get there, but I'm totally there.
Yeah.
So if she could do that movie, that would be awesome for me.
Yeah, agreed. She's also one of those actors. I have a handful of actors that my first place that I remember them being on is Friends. And she's one of those. She was Ross's girlfriend for a while on Friends. She was like a scientist, paleontologist character. Also, oh my goodness, what's the guy's name that plays Ant-Man? What's his name?
I don't know. What is that guy's name?
He was in Parks and Rec and was amazing.
Look it up.
I'm looking it up right now. Let me see if I can remember it before I get there. I didn't. Oh my goodness, why is this not more obvious right here at the start? this is the least interesting show of all time. Because I just spent half the time looking stuff up and going into the microphone. It's Paul Rudd, by the way. Paul Rudd is his name.
Paul Rudd, okay.
We apologize for how much time I just sat on the mic going,
Dude, how are you?
But Paul Rudd was Phoebe's boyfriend on Friends, and he looks exactly the same as he did 20 years ago. Like, going back and watching Friends and seeing Paul Rudd, like, he eventually marries Phoebe on Friends. It, like, he looks identical to what he looked like in Ant-Man or in the newest Avengers movie, because, like, he doesn't age, apparently. I think he's a vampire.
Well, that could be the case.
But, like, the nicest vampire of all time, but a vampire nonetheless.
I was watching, I saw an episode of Friends the other day. It might have been when I was out of town. But I saw the one where Charlie Sheen came into town.
Oh, my goodness. And we actually watched that episode while we were on vacation, too.
Yeah.
Where they have chicken pox.
Yeah.
That's super random that we were both on vacation watching that exact same episode of Friends.
She's like, you got to go away because if you ever had chicken pox. And he's like, no. And I thought, this is, it made me laugh. And yeah. Was it the same episode where Rachel's mother and dad were at Monica's?
Oh, no, that's the episode that came on right before that. Because we turned it on at the very end of that episode, because that's one of my all-time favorite episodes where Joey is, like, making out with Rachel's mom at the very end.
he totally gives it to her, and then he's like, great to see you, Mrs. Green. It made me laugh.
That's hilarious that we were watching that at the same time.
We were. I don't even remember where I was, but it was on.
Yeah, we just had gotten to a hotel and turned on the TV, and it was on. And so, yep, that's awesome. Good times.
Small world, buddy.
Go by the show notes. We got through almost everything. There's one or two we missed in there. So go by the website. Check out the show notes there. Also, go answer the poll question, because there's a new poll question up about Pokemon Go, which is really, are you playing it or not? And so yes or no. And there's only 4 responses at this point, because we haven't done a show since we changed that. So now you know. Go by there and vote. More just for our information, because I have no idea, like, who's listening to the show. Right now, it's 3 people playing it and 1 person not. So, apparently,
Playing it. Are you playing it?
I downloaded it. I've caught 2 Pokemon. But I just never think about it, except for when I'm at home, and that's the one time that it doesn't help to think about it, you know? Like, I need to think about it while I'm out doing things and can pull it up and check and see if there's any Pokemon around. But, yeah. So, I would say probably no would be my answer to playing it. I downloaded it, but not playing it yet. So, but go by and vote, just because we want to know. Curious of who our listeners, who's playing Pokemon Go, who's not. And yeah, would love to hear from you if you are. Like, that's a great segment topic, because we're probably not going to talk about playing it, because we're probably not going to play a lot of it. But if you are playing it, while you're playing it, that would be great. Record something, like call the voicemail line and then have Pokemon Go running on top of it and talk to us while you're playing Pokemon Go. That would be
fun. Know what? Do something better. Do a video. Have somebody take some video of you playing Pokemon Go, and we'll put it on the website. I want to see that.
Yeah, walking around looking at your phone. And yeah. It's such a weird thing, but we want to hear about it. So if you're playing it, let us know.
Absolutely, let us know. Also, go by the Facebook page, check that out. Lots of cool stuff going on over there. Lots of cool people going on over there. I did see, I don't know if you saw this, but somebody posted a link to a hub or something that gives the PlayStation 4 and 360 mouse and keyboard compatibility.
Yeah, it was Logan, and, I think, that did that. Logan, who's been around for a while. Yeah, that's super interesting.
I'm kind of scared of it, but it's an interesting thing to be looking at, for sure.
I want you to get one and then see how it works.
Yeah, that's exactly what you want me to do. You know what's going to happen? Somebody needs to give us more money on the Patreon,
and
the show can pay for it. Thank you very much.
I like it.
But definitely go by the Patreon, check that out. We suck Spider in. If you let us, we'll suck you in too. we want more people on the round table. We want more reasons to do bonus content. I haven't gotten it done yet this month, but it will happen. I'm actually hoping Tommy saves us, because I know he's got a review or 3.
Yeah, I'm going to be writing something on the Talos Principle within the next couple of days.
So if you get that done, I'll get something done by the end of the month.
There we go.
But that's what I'm liking about the Patreon, is it keeps us both honest,
right,
about getting content done. So I'm real happy about that. It's a
there
lot
is,
of fun.
By the way, if you haven't gone by the website recently, I did a piece on Firewatch right before I went to the mountains. I thought that would be a good time to publish a piece about a game that happens in the mountains. So go read that. It's on the website. It's already done the early access for Patreon people, and so that's just at GamingUncensored.com. Check that out.
You're turning into quite a reviewer, sir. That's all I have to say.
It's fun. I like talking about video games, so it's easy to write about video games.
If only we could make a job out of it.
Right. I also love philosophy. I almost had a minor in philosophy in college. I took several philosophy classes to get through a lot of my electives, that kind of stuff. And the Talos Principle was a lot of like references to Immanuel Kant and Rene Descartes and stuff like that. And so, that'll be a fun one to write. I'm excited about that one.
That's going to be a lot of fun. We got a lot of good content over there. Lots of stuff going on. So if you haven't been by there, please go by there and check it out. Other than that, I can't think of anything else. You can send us an email, gamingunsensored@gmail.com. Please do that. We need segments.
Voicemail line.
509-GAME-210.
There you go.
Please do that as well. Other than that, is there anything else, sir?
I think we're good.
All right, I'm Jamie, that's Tommy, and for now, we are Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingUncensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.